Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you today. I'm really enjoying this trip through the Proverbs of getting the wisdom that God has for us to teach us to live smarter. And the topic that we have selected for today is friends. Really an important subject. And I decided to ask Pastor Kenny to teach today because, not because I'm just ducking it out. I love the topic, but Ken's been a really good friend of mine for a long time, and I think he really gets this and really understands what friendship is about, probably better than I do. And so at the same time, I thought, it'll be cool for me to go visit children's ministry and the youth and things like that. But I was in here first service and heard the message, and it's just so helpful. I was thinking probably about 70% of the problems that we have could be solved if we just really took to heart the things that Kenny's sharing with us from the scriptures about friends. So really blessed to have Pastor Kenny Krikak share with us now.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. I am really excited about this series in the book of Proverbs. It's like opening up 3,000 fortune cookies, only better because they're inspired by God. Well, the Bible tells us that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So let's take God at his word and ask him to help us with some wisdom here as we read Proverbs. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the wisdom that's just a request away. And we need your great wisdom. So would you please give us some understanding in your scriptures today? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in March 2008, a little-known indie band from Canada, they were on their way to Nebraska for a week-long tour, and the first leg of their United Airlines flight was in Chicago. And when they were getting ready to deplane, they heard a lady yell in the back of the plane, "They're throwing guitars out there!" And so they pressed their noses up against the window to find out that what the lady was saying was true, and they were tossing the guitars up in the air, trying to make it into the luggage cart, and they would land on the ground, and then they would pick them up again and heave them again. Some would make it a second time. Some landed a second time on the ground and then tossed into the cart. And the lead singer, Dave Carroll of the band, went to the flight attendant and pointed out exactly what was happening to their equipment. And as he explains on his website, he was cut off and said, don't talk to me. You're going to have to talk to the employee outside. And so he went and talked to the employee outside, and that employee was no help. And so he went to a third employee, explained what happened. And that employee said, "Hun, that's why we make you sign a waiver." And he explained to her that, you know, "I didn't sign a waiver. And even if I did, it wouldn't excuse the behavior that clearly everybody on this plane saw." And so another employee told him that he had to wait till he get to Omaha to deal with it. Well, sure enough, when he got there, opened up his $3,500 Taylor guitar, it had been badly damaged. And that's what began a year-long odyssey into trying to talk to United Airlines to fix the situation, but no one would listen to him, just like when he was on the plane. No one would listen to him. Well, they spouted out policies and procedures, and they talked at him, but no one would listen and try to understand what was going on. And so he thought, you know, maybe if I can't get United Airlines to listen to me, maybe my music audience will listen to me. Because there's two things that traveling guitar player, singer, songwriter, musician has. He has something to say, and he has the ability to say it. And so he sat down and wrote the song, "United Breaks Guitars." And so he made a video of it, and he uploaded it to YouTube. And he was hoping for 1 million views within the first year. But by 2 weeks, 4 million people had already seen the video. So much so that days later, the Times of London reported that dark clouds were forming of bad PR for United Airlines. And they encountered a mid-flight stall, and their stock dropped 10% because of this. $180 million it cost shareholders, which, by the way, would pay for about 51,000 replacement guitars for Dave Carroll's guitar. So he got their attention, obviously, and but in the meantime, he actually fixed his guitar. It was the tool of the trade. He spent $1,200 to fix it, and it never did sound the same. And he actually made a, you know, before he put the music, just before he put the video up, he made an offer to United Airlines to settle for $1,200 just to fix the cost of the repairs. Fell on deaf ears, and that's when he uploaded the video. And but you know, that kind of tells us about a certain need that all of us have as humans, and that is to be understood, to be heard and understood. And when you, to be heard and understood is the really, it's the power to change people's hearts and minds. When we listen and understand people, we are being influenced, an influencing agent in their life by the Lord to be able to change their hearts and minds just by listening. And God provides this needs for us, of course. King David in the Psalms, he writes, "But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor his loving kindness from me." So God meets our needs, obviously. Our family, many times God meets our needs through them, but he also sends friends to us to be able to give us that empathy that we need when we're going through the good times and the bad, to be able to talk about it and have people to bounce stuff off of. In fact, Paul says, "Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep." You know, the TV character on the Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper, he would not be a good person who could weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Not, you know, to be able to go up and down with our emotions, that's an important character trait in friends, and we need that. And so we're going to read some Proverbs today. They're going to teach us how to find the right friends. And the first proverb is in Proverbs 18, verse 24, chapter 18 of Proverbs. And this is going to tell us how to get friends, the acquisition of friends. And it says in the first part of verse 24, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." What do friendly characteristics look like? What is it to say that a person is friendly? Well, the Apostle Paul, who teaches us a lot about relationships, he writes this. He says, "Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too," Philippians 2:4. A third of married couples meet online now. Those marriages originate online, eHarmony and so forth. And one of the common complaints of people who use those websites like eHarmony is that, you know, once they met the person, they talked mostly about themselves. You know, they'd say things like, "How did it go with your date? You know, was he talking? Oh yeah, he talked a lot, but it was mostly about himself." Taking an interest in others is the very thing that helps us really develop friendships. And it not only in romantic relationships, but in friendships too. If you're a good listener, you're always going to have friends. In fact, it'll help you in every facet of life. Organizations need this, obviously, like with the United Airlines story. You know, you'll be a benefit to your organization as well as to your friends and just your whole social life. And by the way, when Bob Taylor of Taylor Guitars heard about what happened to Carol's guitar, he called him personally and gave him the choice of any two guitars out of the whole lineup of Taylor Guitars. But, you know, imagine just what would happen if someone, anyone from United Airlines just would have taken the time to listen to him and to understand. They probably wouldn't have had to issue this statement, which is what they issued after the video went viral. "This has struck a chord with us. We are in conversations with one another to make what happened right. And while we mutually agree that this should have been fixed much sooner, Dave Carroll's excellent video provides United with a learning opportunity that we would like to use for training purposes to ensure all customers receive better service from us." You know, you've heard that saying, live and learn. Well, Proverbs actually teaches us to listen and learn. It's better to listen and learn than it is to live and learn. And Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Proverbs 18:13. Another translation says, "Let people finish speaking before you try to answer them. That way you will not embarrass yourself and look foolish." So not following the advice of Proverbs here, in other passages that we're looking at, it not only could cost shares of stock to go down, but it can actually cost us friends. And there's a lot at stake here with this skill. But Ken, you may say, I need people to be interested in me. I need them to reach out to me. I mean, what you're talking about. And that's true. We all need that. And we all need like income too. And how do we get income? Well, we go out and work, right? Or we make investments. And how do we get our needs for friendship met? Similarly, by taking the time to invest in other people. And as we invest in other people, in return, our own needs will be met. They will reach out to us consistently to the effect that we reach out to them. And in fact, Proverbs says, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Proverbs 11:25. Just like people who are smart about their money, you know, chances are most of the time they're not going to get caught short with lack of funds because they handle their money well. Same too with people who suddenly aware that they need a support system because they're going through a crisis or just feeling lonely. You know, they'll have their needs met because of smart investing and other friends. And then the right people, and that's key, is investing in the right people. And that's one of the things we're going to learn today from Proverbs. Now, this could be experienced in a concentrated way. I know someone who has a best friend, and they put like everything into them, and then another person reciprocates. It's symbiotic, and obviously one person's going through something big at the time, and it's kind of, you know, uneven, you know, because they need a lot of attention or going through something, but then, you know, then they get through it, and then the other person's going through something, and then they get through. I have another friend who has about three friends, and then he invests in all three about evenly. I personally think he gives out more than he gets in return, but when you add up what he gets from all three of these friends, he's more than complete in his meeting his friendship needs. And he doesn't keep track of it like that. You know, this is just my observation to make a point. He doesn't think, well, I'm giving out too much here and not getting back. He kind of just gives to everyone, and then he gets back in return. But I'd say he has a diversified relational investment portfolio spread out across three different friends. And that's kind of cool. So what does the Bible actually say about the importance of getting friends, and why do we have to do that? Can't you just like, Ken, that sounds like a lot of work. Why don't I just get really rich, and then I'm going to have lots of friends. They'll all come to me. Well, that's another proverb that says the rich has many friends. Proverbs 14:20. If you're rich, you're going to have a lot of friends, all right. One commentator on this proverb said, this sad but true picture of human nature is not given approvingly, but only as a fact. Aristotle wrote about friendship, and he classified friends in three different categories. And he said there's utility, where you have a need and someone else meets that, you reach out to them, I need you for something, or they need you, and so therefore there's a relationship that's formed. The second one is based what he calls pleasure, and that is where you have a hobby, let's say, that you really like doing this activity, and someone else likes to do it, so you have someone to do an activity with, someone to talk to about the hobby and enjoy these together. But like the utility, if one person stops in, you know, getting that pleasure from the other person because that person's not participating in that particular activity, then the relationship could diminish as well. And then he talks about the third level, which is what he calls virtue, and that is where there's a character in that person that it's something that attracts you to them, and it's life-giving, and you just like being around them. There's something around that person that makes you feel better, and it's something that they have character traits that you aspire to. And so there's this mutual admiration that is formed. And those are the most lasting relationships, according to Aristotle. And I would agree. Now, those kind of relationships can include the other two, but they exist and they're held together on a different plane. Proverbs says, a friend loves at all times. So that would be similar to the kind of friendship that Aristotle is talking about, where it's consistent. Now, fortunately, it's a good thing that God has downloaded his Holy Spirit to us. And so we have this virtue, if you will, on board already that is able to make a connection with other people so that they can see something in us. And we can connect with people spiritually in a way that is quicker than a non-believer can. You know, we could pray with people, and we have that commonality with God. And then also, God's already at work in us as well. And so we have the same goal, to be able to have a better character, and other people have that same goal. And so we have a lot of unity in that realm, so I guess you could say God's given us a really good head start when it comes to this kind of friendship with other people. And Paul said, I'm certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns, Philippians 1:6. And so we definitely connect, and those are the kind of friends that I want in my life, and that's the kind of friend I want to be with someone. I want those lasting type of relationships. Proverbs also says, and this is a key proverb when it comes to friendship, it's Proverbs 12:26, and it says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, Jesus is the best example that we can follow. And Jesus was careful in the way that he chose his closest confidants. Now, back then in Jesus' day, rabbis, professors, master teachers, they were chosen by their students. Students would choose who they're going to go and learn from, kind of like how it is today. We choose which college we want to go to. We choose which church we want to go to, which podcasts to listen to, which books to read, and so on. But Jesus did something completely opposite that was going on in his culture. He chose his students. And he did so after much prayer. In fact, he prayed all night the night before he chose those people who would be his closest confidants. And you might say, well, Ken, aren't they disciples? I mean, you know, you're kind of like talking about them as friends, but aren't they disciples? Well, Jesus said to those disciples, he said this, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, make no mistake about it, Jesus loved everyone. He ministered to everyone. But he fed the 5,000. He trained the 70. He discipled the 12. And he mentored the 3. He was the best friend that those disciples ever had. Nothing better than having God as your friend. But what he also did when he gathered those disciples all together is that he gathered them together so that they could become friends with each other. He created an environment in which they would have new friends that they probably wouldn't have otherwise picked because of their background, but God put them together. Isn't it cool? I think the only next best thing to having God as your friend is having God pick your friends. Do you want God to pick your friends? Stick around this year and listen to the book of Proverbs, and if we let him, he will pick our friends for us from the wisdom that we're going to be receiving from this great book. And God wants us to have good friends. James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 says in the Message translation, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor, James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. There is necessary growth that we need to experience as Christians that can only happen in community with each other. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend, Proverbs 27:17. Another proverb says, only fools would trust what they alone think, but if you live by wisdom, you will do all right, Proverbs 28:26. God designed us to be together. We're like Legos. You know, we're designed to connect with someone, and they're designed to connect to us. There's an old African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. You know, birds fly in V formation. They do that to take advantage of the upwash vortex fields. And by doing so, they're not only able to go farther, and that's produced from the wings of the birds in front of them, but they also, it allows for collision avoidance and also careful navigation. And by the way, do you know why one side's longer than the other? It's because there's more birds on that side. So, anyway. Last week, Pastor Dave pointed out the Harvard study in which the one thing that all successful people have in common is they have long-term thinking in their perspective. That's a great way to find friends who think long-term and who think of the future and the kingdom of God and eternity. You know, we want to do that. We want to think of life as a marathon, not a 50-yard dash. The Bible is always leading us to think, you know, stretching us out there to think of the future. And friends who have that kind of thinking are good friends to have as well. Yeah, the only way we're going to make it to the end of this life the way God wants us to is if we're involved with people. And this, and the Bible says that we need deep, purposeful relationships. And we can only do that in community with each other, but we get tired of trying sometimes. And sometimes we settle for, you know, superficial connections, or we just retreat to a place of loneliness altogether and give up. But you know what? We're going to burn out if we don't develop those relationships. And it's possible to have vibrant relationships in the body of Christ today if we invest in the right people to learn to work smarter, not harder, smarter living. And so one of the things that Proverbs is going to teach us today is be careful about our friend selection and not just rely on the people who reach out to us. Now, relationships start in a lot of different ways, and many relationships, good relationships, are the results of someone reaching out to me. You know, someone pursuing me and wanting a friendship. But that's not always the case. We can't always go, yeah, that's how all good relationships start. At some point, we have to stop and evaluate the relationships we have and say, would I pick this person? Is this the right one for me? And it has to be chosen. Now, a lot of people, you know, choose their dogs by, you know, go visiting a litter of puppies and, you know, one of the puppies is the one that they picked was the one that ran up to them and licked them all over their face and bit their ears with those sharp puppy teeth. You know, that's fine for choosing a dog. But when it comes to choosing friends, there has to be a criteria involved in that. You know, not just the one who pursues us. There needs to be a selection involved. And because God wants a return on his investment, that he's given us a life. And part of that fruit that will produce that will get fruit that will please God will be the result of us working together, having friendships with other Christians. And which brings us to another proverb. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. So this idea of isolation, you know, it's kind of interesting. Mental health professionals today tell us that we need 6 hours a day of socialization for optimum mental health. Now, if you'd only get 5.5 hours, you're not going to become the Unabomber. But 6 is optimal, and we get a lot of that at work and at home and our families and our communities in the neighborhood or places where we volunteer and obviously at church and so forth. But, you know, God looked at Adam right after he created him and said, it's not good for him to be alone. And that was even before the fall. When I first started to minister to people with addictions, I learned from studying that isolation is really dangerous for a person who's battling addiction. And then when we started to develop the small group ministry here and studying that and all the scriptures about small groups, I found out how critically important it is in the Bible for Christians not to isolate and that it's dangerous for Christians to isolate, you know? And then in studying this, I found out that it's dangerous for humans to isolate. So not only addicts, Christians, but all humans. In fact, did you know that loneliness takes the same amount of years off of your life as smoking cigarettes? So it's harmful. So how do we combat that? How do we fight the temptation to isolate and get ourselves back into or deeper into the body of Christ and go the other direction? Well, first of all, you can start a small group. That's a great way. You know, I hear people, you know, tell me like reasons why they're not doing it. And that's fine. You know, I'm not a guilt trip at all. Just a suggestion. But starting a small group, I'll hear things like, well, my house is so dirty. Well, clean it. That's easy to overcome. I'll come over and help you clean your house. You know, well, my house is really small. Well, can you fit 3 people in your house? I mean, they're small groups for a reason, you know. Maybe 4 or 5 people, you know. That's really all it takes. Listen to what Apostle Peter said. Open your homes to each other without complaining. 1 Peter 4:9. The phrase one another and the phrase each other occurs 59 times in the New Testament. In fact, we're called to love each other, to pray for each other, to serve each other, to encourage each other, to accept each other, to teach each other, to forgive each other. And we can't do those things by ourselves. We can only do those things that the Bible's commanding us to do in community. So if we're not in a small group, how are we going to obey those 59 commands in the scriptures? Well, why is it that we end up with the wrong people? You know, we've all ended up with some wrong friends in our life, you know, wrong relationships, and we kind of scratch our head. It's like, how did that happen? I think it happens for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is, I think, the influence of television, because we watch TV and we're entertained by people who are funny, and then they're sarcastic, and they're demeaning, and they're narcissistic, but they're entertaining, and they get attention, and we want to be entertained. I think sometimes we just pick friends by the way we see people on television, because it's kind of entertaining. I think that's conditioned us. But you know, healthy relationships, they don't get a lot of airplay. Drama sells on TV. And it catches our attention. But drama is really a sign of unhealthiness when it comes to friendships. I just finished a book called Scary Close by Donald Miller. And there he kind of talks about his journey in his friendships and in his dating life and so forth. And he realized that he was kind of addicted to people with drama in their life because it was kind of a thrill ride, you know? And they never really went anywhere. They weren't lasting relationships. And he realized he had drama in his own life and issues that he'd deal with. And so what he did was he started to let go of people with drama because they didn't have a lot of room in their life for other people. You know, that kind of like didn't have a lot of room for him ultimately, and he didn't want to become like that. And so he kind of gave up his emotional junk food diet of people with drama in his life, and he started to reach for, you know, the bag of carrots instead of the Cheetos. You know, carrots being symbolic of the healthy people, the Cheetos of the junk, and not that there's anything wrong with Cheetos. There's a guy in our church who, his job is actually to make Cheetos taste better. I don't know how that's possible, but he will find a way. He was telling me last week, he said, man, there's nothing better than a fresh batch right after they're made. Oof. I would love to try one of those. But you know, a lot more advertisement goes into junk food than it does healthy food. And it seems like when I was a kid, the healthy food was cheap and the junk food was expensive. Now it seems like it's the opposite. I was listening to a comedian the other day who was shopping for chicken, and he was offered some free-range chicken to buy, which is like double the price of the regular chicken. It's like free-range chicken. I live in a 400-square-foot apartment in Pacoima. You know, I don't want the chicken better off than me. You know, I don't want to take that kind of life. He said, I want a chicken with a 420 FICO score who just lost his custody battle. So what does Proverbs tell us about the kind of friends that we should avoid? Well, in Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25, it says, keep away from angry, short-tempered men, lest you learn to be like them and endanger your soul. So you could cross those people off the list. And many times angry people are manipulative and they're controlling. And people that are hard to get along with are not going to be a good friend to have. I'm not talking about your spouse or your family or people you work with. Or that you minister to. I'm talking about the people that you allow into your life really close to influence you, to open up to and share and be vulnerable with. And I think that's the kind of relationships that this writer of Proverbs had in mind as he's giving us advice about who to pick. And I don't recommend telling your friends which circle they're in. This is just like for you and your journal, you know? It's just between you and the Lord, or maybe you could share this with your spouse. I was talking about hitting on this a little bit with some students from the Calvary Chapel Bible College who are interns in ministry, and I was helping them with the prevention of, you know, burnout in ministry and so forth. And I had this little diagram of a tree, and the roots of the tree has open spots where you could write in the names of people who are energy enhancing and activities that are energy enhancing. And then the branches are those people in your life that are energy draining, or those activities that are energy draining, you know? And this one girl was really artistic, so she was really getting into it. And she's like, that's so sad for me to write a name of a friend. She pictured him like dangling on the branches, barely hanging on, you know, or leaves dwindling down and withering and dropping off and being washed away, you know. But once I kind of conveyed that this is really for you personally, it's just for you to get a visual of how you run your life, she's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't feel so bad now, you know. Like, you know, it's just for us kind of a thing. And so, yeah, don't put it on social media. But so what are some traits that make a good friend? Well, I think the mark of a true good friend is someone who wishes you well. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. And so someone who is consistently wanting the best for you is a good friend. You know, not someone who gets jealous or doesn't want you to succeed above them or things like that. You know, a good friend will want you to do well, even if they're not there to enjoy it with you. Just the fact that you're doing well brings them pleasure, makes them happy, because that's how God is with us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so God has well wishes toward us. And so a person who knows that and who wants to operate in that virtuous character of being godlike will pay that forward to other people. And that's a good trait of a friend. We need to put the right people in our lives. And if we're being passive, we couldn't end up being surrounded by the wrong people, because the wrong people, like I had mentioned, could be controlling or assertive or manipulative. You know, what's interesting about the White House is that the whole interior of the White House is positively charged with air pressure. So when you walk in, you open up the door, the wind comes out at you. And that's designed so that airborne contaminants cannot float through and go inside that. So it's a security system. So the pressure pushes the air out constantly. And when we put healthy people in our lives, when we put the right people in our life, it creates a positive airflow, and it'll keep the unhealthy people away from us. And so it's a really cool thing that the Lord does with our friends if we put the right people in. Now, the opposite is true too, that, you know, you could have like an unhealthy person who's like a bulldog in your life, and he'll keep away, or she'll keep away, all of the healthy friends who would otherwise be able to get to you. This is how domestic violence works as well. What the abuser does is that he keeps that person from being able to reach out to healthy people, and then he also fights another front, keeping those healthy people from being able to get into the victim. And so basically what he does, he creates a closed environment, an unhealthy closed environment. God, on the other hand, is always taking us out to a healthier place with light and life and truth, and bringing us out into the kingdom of God, an open system. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians, that's 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the Bible can save us from a lot of pain, and if we let it. And this year, find the healthiest relationships you can find, the people that you could find, and start being very intentional. They've got to get on the calendar. You've got to actually plan it. Otherwise, it's just, yeah, we should do that sometime, you know? The difference between a goal and a dream is a date. And so when you get the date on the calendar, that's the key. So be very intentional. And God, you know, many times the right friends for us could be right around us. We just have overlooked them. Or we don't really study the scriptures or are aware, remember those scriptures that are really important about who to pick. And so sometimes we'll just, you know, overlook them. Reach for the fruit bowl, not the bag of Cheetos. And speaking of fruit, our women's study is actually doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a really good checklist to start to look at for your friends, to pick them, see how they work with that. You know, there's no drama in the fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to see too many reality TV shows featuring the fruit of the Spirit in people's life. And we're not going to find, you know, perfect friends, but we do want to line them up with what the Bible talks about as a good friend. What are some things that keep us from connecting friends with other people? Well, I think it's a lot of things, but I think one of them is fear. We're afraid for people to really get to know us and find the truth about us, and maybe they may not like us. Fear of rejection. I'm preparing a series in the for the men's study in looking at Genesis, and because that's where this fear all started, was in the garden where they hid, you know. And there's a lot in the scriptures that can help us overcome those fears and that fear of rejection, because the fear of rejection prevents connection. And perhaps guys need that more in their relationships than women do. I read a study once that the average woman has 4 friends and the average guy has 1. It's his wife. You know, if he loses her, he's out of luck. But Paul says, let your love be the highest goal. So it's not the accomplishments in our life. It's the connections. It's about love. Love is all about learning. Life is about learning how to love. And in order to accomplish this goal, I got to be around people. The great commandment says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And Sundays here is a great way to fulfill the great commandment. But small groups are a place where we can fulfill the second part of the great commandment, which is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You might think, well, Ken, I got burned. I mean, I reached out and I got really hurt. Like I got trampled, you know, and I'm sorry that you went through that. I really am. And it may seem kind of counterintuitive to put yourself back out there and put yourself and reach out to people after you've been hurt. But reaching out to the right people is necessary for that healing to occur. If you accidentally cut off your finger, what would you do? Well, you'd take that finger and you'd go to the ER and they would reattach that finger. The only way that finger is going to get healed is if it's reattached to the rest of the body. And that's how we get healing, by reattaching to the body of Christ. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So getting close to the right people is very healing. And it can be hurtful to be close to the wrong people, but the right people are God's way of healing us. You notice that it says that James recommends a righteous person. You know, a common strategy that I use when I counsel people is to plug them in and get them back into, closer into the body of Christ through fellowships and groups and studies and serving, because everybody has spiritual gifts that God's given them. They have a passion of things that they love to do. They have skills, talents, and abilities. They've got wonderful personalities, very unique personalities, and experiences that they've had in life that are really valuable to other people. And once they start to serve and be a part, you know, they have that opportunity to feel God's pleasure in their life by serving, and then they're blessing others, and then they start to get blessed in return, and that healing really occurs. Another proverb says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 13:20. By not choosing the right people, a lot of people have been hurt. And some have had evil creep into their lives and actually, you know, have ended up in jail because of that. We were, a while back, we were having the kids in our children's ministry take their curriculum that they've colored and stuff. And we had them write encouraging notes to people in prison and you know, to be delivered to the prisoners. And I was going through their curriculum and checking to make sure that they didn't put like their last name or any identifying information on their curriculum. And some like reading them, you know, and it's like, you know, one child wrote, you know, Jesus loves you. Another one wrote, you know, Jesus will forgive you. And then another child wrote, you should be ashamed of yourself. I'm working on a new series to train our prison ministry volunteers, and it's based upon the book Safe People by Cloud and Townsend. Everything they write is just phenomenal, and it's really kind of a cool series because it kind of shows what a safe person looks like and how to identify them, and then to train them to like identify with other safe people so that they could get out, and we're providing opportunities for them to be around safe people as well. And because, you know, a lot of people, they just don't know what a safe person looks like. They just haven't had, you know, the kind of training that we get at church in Proverbs. And they've kind of had the mistaken notion that bad people can make good friends. People are attracted to bad people. But Paul said, don't let anyone deceive you. Associating with bad people will ruin good people. Like what happens when you have a little electronic, portable electronic device and you need new batteries and you put in a brand new battery and then you put in a dead battery together, it doesn't work too well. And 10 years from now, my life will be the result of the associations that I keep and the books that I read. One of the things that we've observed about the folks in prison is that they were really passive about the friends that they picked. In other words, they let their friends pick them instead of the other way around of them picking their friends, which is what Proverbs is talking about. One former inmate who we affectionately know as Doc, he was an ER doctor before he went to jail. And while he was in jail, some people tried to make him his friend. And they found out he was a doctor. They wanted them to manage their drug supply. And he refused to associate with these guys, got beat up. But he's okay. He's got out. He got saved in jail. And you know, it was costly for him to let go of the wrong friends, a little costly, but he's way better off as a result of that. And he's got an amazing ministry going back there to minister to the guys. But just as we're learning from Proverbs, you know, we're the ones that need to be to do the choosing. And you know, we may have blind spots in this area. A lot of people have blind spots. If you have a hard time picking the right people or the right potential mate, read Safe People. It's a really great read. The litmus test is not how much someone pursues you. The litmus test is how healthy is the pursuer. Good friend selection has certainly helped me in my life. You know, that V formation, you know, those people that I am close with, I've received healing from them. They've helped me with navigation, collision avoidance. It's really Jesus from the neck down. It's the body of Christ who helps us so much. And married people need friends just as much as single people do. And, you know, a lot of marriages would be better off if they each had, you know, same gender, of course, friends with that can meet their friendship needs. And, you know, and a lot of times if a husband, you know, goes out and does things with his friends, that'll encourage the wife to do the same because sometimes only one is interested, but that'll kind of get the other one going. In premarital counseling, I like to suggest to couples to, now's a really good time to look at your friends and keep the good ones. Because everybody's kind of expecting you to, you know, like as soon as you get married, you lose your friends. You know, so they're kind of expecting to get pushed out a little bit on the ring. So this is a really good opportunity to look who you have and really keep the good ones. Good time for a break. Because gifts are, friends are a gift from God. James says, whatever is good and perfect comes down from God our Father. You may say, well, Ken, I was rejected, though. I mean, I reached out to love people, and then it wasn't received. Well, then redirect, because there's millions of people that need love in this world. Get back in. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, if you've been hurt, then you don't have to engage in friendships or in close relationships. No, that's the thing we need the most. Faith, hope, and love. If you don't remember the list of the fruit of the Spirit, you can have a shorter list. Faith, hope, and love. You know, do I see that in people? And that's what's necessary for all the relationships to work. And it doesn't take a lot of faith, just a little bit. You know, mustard seed. And as far as the love goes, he's already given us the love in our hearts. He just wants us to take what he's given us and give it to others. And then we're the ones that benefit. That's the amazing thing about it. Why is he calling us into deeper relationships? Because he wants to bless us. He wants us to grow. You might say, well, Ken, all I need is Jesus. I would say to you, you need all of Jesus. You know, he's got a body. He wants to, you know, bless us with that. I couldn't imagine if I was doing a wedding and I, you know, pronounce husband and wife and, you know, now you may talk to your bride. You're like, what? Yeah. This is just a emotional, conversational, mental, and social relationship that doesn't involve like kissing or anything, you know. That would be crazy. Well, when you accept Jesus, you get the whole church. The church is the body of Christ. That's where we're going to get strength, warmth, love, protection, nutrition, healing. The church is the body of Christ. And I have the honor of walking with people through really difficult times. And I've noticed that those that have good friends, when they face difficult times, they get through it a lot better than those that don't have good friends. You know? What's one of the things we say when we are aware that someone's going through hard times? We'll say things like, well, they're really going through it, but they have a good support system. You know? Or maybe some people who are going through hard times will say, boy, you really find out who your real friends are when you're going through those tough times. That's true. And actually, you find out the investment that you've made in the right people, how much of investment you made in the right people. That's when it shows. And Jesus, he is the best friend that we could have. He is. And he wants to be really, really close with us. And he came down and died on the cross so that And so he could sacrifice himself to pay for our sins so that we could have a closer relationship with him that would last forever. He reigns in the kingdom, and he wants to have the closest relationship with us. The last part of Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's the ultimate relationship. He became a man to get us into relationship with him. And if some of your relationships are, you know, sputtering and spitting and sputtering, you might be burning the wrong fuel, you know? So we need to get our relationship with God straight a lot of times, and then that's what helps us get straight with others. But, you know, he is reaching out to us. The best person to have a relationship with is reaching out to us, but it has to be symbiotic. All relationships have to have an openness and a willingness to connect. And that's what Jesus is looking for. He is looking for an openness on our part. He's done a lot of the work. He's done all the work, really. I mean, he takes 9 steps toward us, but he's not going to take the 10th. You know, he'll urge us to repent, but he's not going to do the repenting for us. He's done everything to clear the path, to make the way, to get really close with us. Someone said to me once, why should I accept Jesus? And I said, because he's already accepted you. He is reaching out, accepting us, but it has to be reciprocated on the other side. We have to make that connection and accept. So myself and others are going to be here down in front along with others right after the service. So if you want to pray for your relationships or anything else that you have going on, or you want to be introduced to Jesus Christ himself, we would be very happy to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's nothing missing from the scriptures. There's never anything that will come across that will say, well, these are the things that Jesus should have said or could have said. No, you are thorough. You have left no stone uncovered. You've revealed everything that we need. We just need reminders of and urgings from you to be able to pick the right people, to stay away from other people, to really evaluate our life this year. And so we thank you for the amazing truths that we're receiving this year that are clearly going to make our life better. And so we thank you for this body and the wonderful people here. And we pray that you would help us to get deeper involved in the body of Christ and receive all the wonderful things that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.